in winter. Their signature hooting sequence has been memorably described as "Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all?" But this is just one of more than a dozen barred owl calls, ranging from a siren call to a wail to a wonderfully entertaining monkey call. Although the barred owl's calls have long been heard in eastern forests, it is a relative newcomer to the western U.S. During the 20th century, its breeding range has expanded into the north and the west, and down as far as northern California. The exact reasons behind the expansion aren't certain, but new riparian forests, fire suppression, and the planting of shelter belts in the northern Great Plains are some of the human impacts that have likely played a role. No matter what accounts for the barred owl's dramatic sweep across the continent, the bird and its extraordinary voice seem here to stay. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to share three stories with you from the 20th century, starting with one of Jen's all-time favorites, Stephanie's Ponytail, written by Robert Munch, and that's published by Anik Press. And actually helping Jen out with this story are some students and their teacher from a local private school here in the Central Virginia area.
One day, Stephanie went to her mom and said,
"None of the kids in my class have a ponytail.
I want a nice ponytail coming right out the back."
So Stephanie's mom gave her a nice ponytail coming right out the back. When Stephanie went to school, the other kids looked at her and said,
"Ugly, ugly, very ugly."
Stephanie said,
"It's my ponytail and I like it."
The next morning, when Stephanie went to school, all the other girls had ponytails coming out the back. Stephanie looked at them and said,
"You're all a bunch of copycats. You just do whatever I do. You don't have a brain in your heads."
The next morning, the mom said,
"Stephanie, would you like a ponytail coming out the back?"
"No."
"Then that's that. That's the only place you can do ponytails."
"No, it's not. I want one coming out the side, just above my ear."
"Very strange. Are you sure that's what you want?"
"Yes."
So her mom gave Stephanie a nice ponytail coming out right above her ear. When she went to school, the other kids saw her and said,
"Ugly, ugly, very ugly."
"It's my ponytail and I like it."
The next morning, when Stephanie came to school, all the girls, and even some of the boys, had nice ponytails coming out just above their ears. The next morning, the mom said,
"Stephanie, would you like a ponytail coming out the back?"
"No."
"Would you like one coming out the side?"
"No."
"Then that's that. There's no other place you can do ponytails."
"Yes, there is. I want one coming out the top of my head like a tree."
"That's very, very strange. Are you sure that's what you want?"
"Yes."
So her mom gave Stephanie a nice ponytail coming out the top of her head like a tree. When Stephanie went to school, the other kids saw her and said,
"Ugly, ugly, very ugly."
"It's my ponytail and I like it."
The next day, all of the girls and all of the boys had ponytails coming out the top. It looked like broccoli was growing out of their heads. The next morning, the mom said,
"Stephanie, would you like a ponytail coming out the back?"
"No."
"Would you like one coming out the side?"
"No."
"Would you like one coming out the top?"
"No."
"Then that is definitely that. There's no other place you can do ponytails."
"Yes, there is. I want one coming out the front and hanging down in front of my nose."
"But nobody'll know if you're coming or going. Are you sure that's what you want?"
"Yes."
So her mom gave Stephanie a nice ponytail coming out the front. On the way to school, she bumped into 4 trees, 3 cars, 2 houses, and 1 principal. When she finally got to her class, the other kids saw her and said,
"It's my ponytail and I like it."
The next day, all of the girls and all of the boys and even the teacher had ponytails coming out the front and hanging down in front of their noses. None of them could see where they were going. They bumped into the desks and they bumped into each other. They bumped into the walls and by mistake, 3 girls went into the boys' bathroom. Stephanie yelled,
"You're a bunch of brainless copycats. You just do whatever I do. When I come tomorrow, I'm going to have shaved my head."
The first person to come the next day was the teacher. She had shaved her head and she was bald. The next to come were the boys. They had shaved their heads and they were bald. The next to come were the girls. They had shaved their heads and they were bald. The last person to come was Stephanie, and she had a nice little ponytail coming right out the back.
Let's get her!
Yeah!
Now I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I want to be a man cub, and stroll right into town, and be just like the other men. I'm tired of mugging around, oh, ooby-doo. I want to be like you. I want to walk like you, talk like you. You'll see it's
true.
Shoo-bidi-doo.
An ape like me.
Scooby-dooby-dooby.
Can learn to be human too.
Is man's red fire to make my dream come true. Now give me the secret, man cub. Come on, clue me what you do. Give me the power of man's red flower so I can be like you.
From the Walt Disney Jungle Book soundtrack, that was I Wanna Be Like You, also known as the Monkey Song. You are listening to Tell Us a Tale. For our next 20th century story, we're going to tell you Barbara Shook Hazen's Wally the Worry Warthog, and that's published by Clarion Books.
Wally was a warthog who worried a lot about a lot of things, like grizzly bears, and ghosts, and little green men from Mars. Worse, he worried about the saber-toothed trolls who squatted under Suspension Bridge, waiting to slash him to slithers every day on his way to school. Because of them, Wally always carried rocks in his pockets and walked very fast. Worst of all, Wally worried about Wilberforce Warthog, who was huge and hairy and never smiled and always wore big double thick gloves. Wally worried about what he imagined was under those gloves. Whenever Wally saw Wilberforce, he fingered the rocks in his pockets and avoided him whenever possible. One day it wasn't possible. Wally and Wilberforce were both crossing Suspension Bridge at the same time. Wally closed his eyes tight and walked very fast as he neared the middle. He and Wilberforce collided midway. Each backed off and glared at the other. Said Wilberforce, swinging his huge gloved paws like giant pendulums. Wally said nothing, but pushed his paws deeper into his rock bulgy pockets. Wilberforce said, stomping his feet so hard the bridge swayed wildly. Wally pulled his paws out of his pockets to hold on, and Wilberforce pulled off his gloves. Wilberforce gasped at the sight of the mean-looking rocks that clunked onto the bridge boards. Wally gasped at the sight of Wilberforce's bare paws. They weren't huge or horrible. They didn't have needle-sharp nails. They didn't have nails at all. They were, in fact, puny and pink and chewed to the quick.
What happened to your nails?
Wally asked, eyes wide and staring.
I bite my nails. I bite them because I worry.
What about?
Wally was amazed. He thought he was the only one who worried.
I worry about all sorts of things. Things like avalanches and earwigs and the terrible razor-tailed alligators who live here under Suspension Bridge waiting to munch me to mincemeat. But especially about you. I worry about why you hate me and always avoid me, which is why I chew my nails and my mom makes me wear gloves.
I don't hate you. But I worry, too, about a lot of things, like grizzly bears and ghosts and little green men from Mars. And I used to worry about what was under your great big double-thick gloves. Only, now that I know, I don't worry anymore. Worst of all, though, I worry about the terrible saber-toothed trolls who squat here under Suspension Bridge, waiting to slash me to slitherines. That's why I carry rocks in my pockets, so I can protect myself from the trolls.
Alligators!
Trolls!
Alligators!
Trolls! Hey, I've got an idea. Let's grab some rocks and take a look now that there's two of us. That way, we'll see if they're trolls or alligators.
And so they did. They looked over one side of Suspension Bridge, and then the other. And to their happy surprise, there weren't any saber-toothed trolls or razor-tailed alligators either. So they crossed the bridge together, talking about all the other things they worried about.
Like vampires and killer trees and snakes with laser eyes?
Like ghouls and crusher vines and mutant mosquitoes.
Then they went down to the water and skipped the rest of the rocks, which was the beginning of a fine, close friendship, as well as worrying less.
Claustrophobia.
Fear of large places.
Agoraphobia. so many things to be afraid of. Life isn't easy for me. What are my phobias made of? Things that I can't even see. The fear of blushing.
Erythrophobia.
The fear of animals.
Zoophobia.
The fear of spiders.
Arachnophobia.
Fear of the dark. So many things to be afraid of. Life isn't easy for me. What are my phobias made of? Things that I can't even see. Studying.
Homeworkophobia.
So many things to be afraid of. Life isn't easy for me. What are my phobias made of? Things that I can't even see.
John McCutcheon's album Family Garden, that was Phobias. Well, we're going to close out this half hour of Tell Us a Tale with one final story, read for us by a young friend from a local private school here in the Central Virginia area called We're Going on a Bear Hunt, retold by Michael Rosen, and that's published by M.K. Elderberry Books. And then we'll listen to just a bit of Teddy Bear's Picnic off Jerry Garcia and David Grisman's album Not for Kids Only.
We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Uh-oh, grass. Long, wavy grass. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no. We've got to go through it. Swishy, swashy. Swishy, swashy. Swishy, swashy. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Uh-oh, a river. A deep, cold river. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no. We've got to go through it. Splash, splash. Splash, splash. Splash, splash. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Uh-oh, mud. Thick, oozy mud. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no. to go through it.
Squelch, scritch, squelch, scritch, squelch, scritch.
We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared.
Uh-oh, a forest.
A big, dark forest. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no. We've got to go through it.
Stumble trip, stumble trip,
stumble trip. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared.
Uh-oh, a snowstorm. A swirling, whirling snowstorm.
We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no. We've got to go through it.
Hoo, 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 hoo.
We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared.
Uh-oh, a cave.
A narrow, gloomy cave. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no. We've got to go through it.
Tiptoe, tiptoe, tiptoe.
What's that? One shiny, wet nose. Two big, furry ears. Two big, goggly eyes. It's a bear.
Quick, back through the cave.
Tiptoe, tiptoe, tiptoe.
Back through the snowstorm.
Hoo-hoo-hoo.
Back through the forest.
Stumble trip, stumble trip, stumble trip.
Back through the mud.
Squelch, squirt, squelch, squirt.
Back through the river.
Splash, 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 splash.
Back through the grass.
Swishy, swashy, swishy, swashy.
Get to our front door.
Open the door.
Up the stairs.
Oh, no.
We forgot to shut the door.
Back downstairs.
Shut the door.
Back upstairs.
Into the bedroom.
Into bed.
Under the covers.
We're not going on a bear hunt again.
To the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down to the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Every teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please, 'cause that's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them, catch them unawares, and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about. They love to play and shout, they never have any cares. At 6 o'clock, their mommies and daddies will take them home to bed, because they're tired little teddy bears. Thank you.
Hi, this is Barry Lewis Polisar. A little less noise, please. I'm trying to listen to Tell Us a Tale.